The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. People came to Jesus and objected. Why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he does, its fullness pulls away, the new from the old, and the tear gets worse. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the skins are ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh wineskins." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy, blessed Dr. Martin Luther King holiday to everybody. Tangential thought on that point. You know, I always deliberately start every homily by saying, brothers and sisters. I just something to think about. You know, that's not a throwaway line. You want to know why? You want to know why I say that? Not only is it scriptural, but it's a reminder, I think, of one of the most important ways we want to love and respect every human being, regardless of their race, regardless of their class, no matter what it might be. Remember that we are all children of one Heavenly Father. Honestly, I swear, if we would just remember that one thing, so many of our society's tensions and problems would dissipate. So, good morning, brothers and sisters, right? That's how we start. Okay, little thought for you today, and it comes from the first reading, which, once again, we're continuing the books of Samuel. And if you remember, I said last time I spoke about this, that it's a story of how God's providence relentlessly unfolds in spite of our worst weaknesses. Okay, so now here's the story of Samuel rebuking King Saul because he refused to be obedient to the Lord. God told King Saul to wage war against the Amalekites and to put the ban on the Amalekites, which he does 90% of the way. Now, there's this phrase back in the Old Testament called putting the ban on someone or putting something under the ban. It deserves explaining. The Hebrew term is sherem. And it shows up in the Old Testament, and it means that you are to completely destroy the enemy with no profit whatsoever. You can't keep their gold, you can't keep their silver, you can't keep their cattle or anything else. When it's under the ban, it's completely eliminated. When God gave the Israelite people the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, he also gave them some work to do. They would have to milk the cows, so to speak. They would have to tend the bees. You know, it's said that faith can move a mountain. When God says faith can move a mountain, he usually hands you a shovel, okay? You got to get to work. So they had seven kingdoms they had to destroy because these kingdoms were hell-bent on the destruction of Israel. They were images of the enemies of everything that God stands for. And when they were eliminated, they were supposed to be placed under the ban. No profit, no booty, no silver, no gold, nothing of that sort. Which King Saul does 90% of the way. He spares the life of the king for, you know, his own political well-being. And he keeps some of the best things from their kingdom, some of their cattle, some of their booty, some of their gold. And when Samuel rebukes him for it, Saul says, "Yeah, I was going to offer him to the Lord as sacrifice." A rather weak excuse. Samuel says, "The Lord doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience." And that's just as true now as it ever was then. The concept of having something placed under the ban or sherem still exists. It still exists. You know, the Old Testament is an ongoing revelation. It gets clearer and clearer and clearer the further along you get in the Old Testament. So as it progresses, the idea of sherem refers to those who were hell-bent on the destruction of God's people even from within the community. And they were exiled from the community, kind of like an Old Testament parallel to what we now call excommunication. And for us, the idea is anything that would keep us from God, namely sin and disobedience. Okay, so you hear Samuel rebuke King Saul. Ask yourself this question. Where in your life are you 90% doing what God asks of you? 90% resolved to obey the commandments. 90% resolved to be a good Catholic. 90% resolved not to commit sin again. 90% sorry. 90% repentant. God bless you. God doesn't want your 90%. He wants your 100%. You don't play games with disobedience. You don't play games with sin. You put the ban on sin, right? You wipe it out completely. And it's just something to keep in mind. The love of God is not something that works well with fractions. Think of it as being like the hull of a ship. Any leak in the hull of a ship, and eventually the ship is going down. Any leak in our willingness to obey the Lord and to keep His commandments, and eventually the whole thing's going down. It's kind of like what St. Therese said so long ago. She said, you can't be 90% of a saint. You either have to be 100% a saint or not to be a saint at all. A little reminder today from Samuel to you and to me, that we once again resolve to give of the Lord not our 50%, not our 90%, but our 100% to the praise and glory of God the Father. Amen.